Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
We are one body. We belong to the same body of Christ, and therefore we belong to one another. Understanding the unity, understanding the interdependence keeps us humble.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Our world revolves around the concept of self, but when we put God at the center of our lives, our perspective and our relationships are transformed. Today, we're continuing our study in the book of Romans and learning how humility, unity, and diversity are key to living a life of total commitment. Now, let's join Pastor John Monroe as he introduces today's lesson.
Diversity is one of the buzzwords in our culture. Most of us want to treat others in a respectful way and not to exhibit arrogance. Last time, we saw the importance of true humility. It's found in having an accurate estimation of ourselves, not thinking too much of ourselves or too little of ourselves. In Romans 12, Paul explains how this humility works in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are to appreciate others, realizing that every authentic follower of Jesus Christ is gifted by God. We all have our strengths, but we also have our limitations. We need each other to complement each other. Let's learn how the gospel of Jesus transforms our relationships in the community of believers. You know, if you think you're always the smartest person in the room or the most spiritual person in the room, I would suggest you're the only person in the room. Do you really believe that? Because sometimes you may give that impression to others. And in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. So who you're rubbing shoulders with? Think with sober judgment. Humility involves a realistic assessment of our strengths and our limitations. It's a wise man. It's a wise woman who knows their strengths, but also knows their limitations and their weaknesses. Stop pretending you have got all of the strengths, all of the gifts. You don't. Don't think too highly of yourself, Paul is saying. Don't think too highly of yourself, but don't think too little of yourself. True humility is being the person you are before God, not beating up on yourself. That's false modesty. That leads to inactivity. It leads to whining. People like this are a real pain in the neck, aren't they? Oh, I'm not good at anything. I really can't do much. You feel like saying, you're absolutely right. Go away. I mean, we can't say that because we've got to be kind. And you realize when the person says that, they don't believe that for one little minute. If you agreed with them and said, yeah, you are really of little consequence, they would dissolve into tears. That's false modesty. Don't do that. Don't do that. Remember this. You're made in the very image of God, that God has given you strengths and abilities. You know that as you look at a group of little children, it's very obvious. Even from the same family, they have their own little personality, their little strengths and their little weaknesses. It's obvious that's how God has made us. No, the standard for a true assessment is the faith which God has given you in Christ. God has saved you. God loves you. The Spirit of God indwells you. And God has gifted you. And will give you all of the help you need to do His will. The question is, are you willing to do His will? Don't compare yourself with others. That will lead to arrogance, or it will lead to great despair. Don't compare yourself with others. You're different. God has gifted you. He gives you all of the power you need if you use His gifts and His powers that He has given you. What's the point here? What's the fundamental point I'm making? It's this. Those who accept the challenge of total commitment are going to be humble. The more and more you're committed to Jesus Christ, the humbler and humbler you will be. Humility flows from your relationship with God and the spiritual transformation that is taking place. We thought of the metamorphosis from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Well, the more you are spiritually transformed, the more and more you will become like Jesus, and you'll learn what it is to think with sober judgment. So be honest before God in evaluation of yourself. One commentator, Denny, writes to himself, every man, in a sense, is the most important person in the world. And it always needs more grace to see what other people are and to keep a sense of moral proportion. Well said. Don't answer this question too quickly. Maybe discuss it with a good friend. If you're married, discuss it with your spouse. Are you a proud person? Are you? Don't answer it too quickly. Are you a proud person? That is more important than gift. A person who is very gifted and who is arrogant, in fact, is very, very dangerous. We found that in business. We found that in industry. We find that in politics. A person can be very, very gifted, but if they're arrogant, they can destroy things in a moment. Look for humble people. Abraham Lincoln said, most men can withstand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Paul would agree with Abraham Lincoln, because when Paul gives the qualifications for the elder, he says, now, when you're going to choose an elder, don't elect a novice, not a recent convert, lest, he says, he become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. In my ministry over the years, I've seen this in operation with some elders. I've seen it with some young pastors. Puffed up with conceit. I'm proud. I'm now a pastor. I'm now an elder. I've got my name badge, Elder so-and-so here. You've got to listen to me. Paul says, no, that individual is going to fall into the condemnation of the devil. When our Lord Jesus, at the end of Matthew 11, tells us to come to him with our burdens, and he will give us rest. Do you remember what he says at the end of Matthew chapter 11? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What does Jesus want to learn from him? Here he gives one of the very, very few self-descriptions of himself. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. What does Jesus want us to learn of him? That he is gentle, part of the fruit of the Spirit, and lowly in heart. No man was more humble than our Savior. No man was mightier. No man was a greater leader. No man was more powerful than our Lord. But never did a man walk on this earth who was humbler than our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you learn of me, you will find rest for your soul. There's a wonderful thing. When you accept who you are before God, and we begin as you follow Jesus to learn from the Master gentleness and lowliness, you know what will happen? You'll experience more and more peace. What causes anxiety within us? What causes unrest and jealousy and bitterness and frustration when we don't get our own way? When we're overcome with pride? When I think that my ideas must always be accepted by everyone else? No, true humility is having an accurate estimation of yourself. Now, Paul here very helpfully gives us an aid to maintaining that humility, and it is this: appreciate the unity and the diversity of the body of Christ. An appreciation of the unity of the church and an appreciation of the diversity of the church prevents an overestimation or an underestimation of my part. Verse 4, Romans 12, verse 4, for as in one body, human body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, he's using, we understand this, he's using the analogy of the human body. And he's likening that to the church. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. The human body is a unit. I just have one body. It is a unit. It functions in one. And if I understand the importance of unity, the importance of valuing the opinions of others and of serving others, and I keep my focus on the unity of the church and the glory of God, the more humble I will be. Each member of us, we are part of the whole. Without a member, there would be a lack of unity. Paul says here in verse 5, we are one body. We belong to the same body of Christ, and therefore we belong to one another. Just one body. There's not two bodies or three. There's just one. We're all part of the same church. We're all members of the same body. We're brothers and sisters in the same family. Therefore, we're to love each other. We're to respect each other. Notice Paul says here in verse 5, he says, we, and then he talks about individually. Each member is to be valued. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. He says, just as the body is one and has many members, the human body, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. Do you understand that? We are members of one another. Understanding that, understanding the unity, understanding the interdependence, that I need you and you need me, keeps us humble. The more we value others, the humbler we will be. The less we value others, the more prideful we will be. Unity and interdependence. So don't play down your part. It may be invisible. It's true, no one may encourage you. It's true, sometimes people take you for granted. It's true, you'll never stand on this platform and receive a standing ovation. And I would say if you want a standing ovation, that's a mark of pride, isn't it? You see, when we use our gift, people are edified and God is glorified. When Peter in 1 Peter 4 talks about the spiritual gift, that he says is the goal. And Paul as well in 1 Corinthians, that the goal is to edify others, to upbuild others, and to give glory to God, not to put the spotlight on yourself. Now, the body is not only united, the body is diverse. My human body is diverse, it's one unit. I have hands, I have feet, I have 10 toes. I also have a liver and a spleen and a heart and an appendix and all kinds of nasty things inside me, which I've never seen. They're not very handsome members, but they're absolutely vital to the healthy functioning of my body. I've never seen them. I don't want to see them. But they are providing an essential part. Without them, I would die. Oh, you see my head, you see my hands. But there's other members. All are vital in the human body, aren't they? It doesn't take much in your human body for a little toe or a little sore rib or something else to be out of whack, to provide you in great pain and discomfort and to take away from the quality of life. Isn't that right? We all know that. Now, just, Paul is saying, just as the human body has many members, very diverse, although it's one unit, there's only one body, but there's diversity in the unity, so it is with the body of Christ. Isn't it wonderful that everyone isn't like you, or even worse, like me? Think of the diversity that we have. And God brings us together. And we need that. And so we very much appreciate, brother and sister, we very much appreciate that gift that you have. Please use it to edify us and to glorify God. But remember this, that's not the only gift. And don't think because you have that gift and someone else doesn't have your gift that somehow you're superior to them. Absolutely not. God sovereignly chooses a gift. He gives some people this gift, but he also gives us limitations. Diversity, but unity. Don't think that you can do everything. Don't have an overestimation of your ability. Don't have an underestimation of your ability. We all have strengths. We all have limitations. Recognize your strengths. Recognize your limitations, and that will keep you humble. Don't give the impression that you have all of the gifts, brother, sister. We need one another. And the wonderful thing is this, that you come to church and you say, you know, this is a wonderful church in the grace of God, but perhaps we could be doing such and such. Yes, we could be doing such and such. Are you willing to help? Are you willing to be part of the solution, or do you just want to be a critic? See, total commitment to God leads to serving others with humility. You've got a teaching gift. Do you think you could develop that you could lead a Bible study, lead a life group? Do you think you could disciple or mentor a young brother, a young sister? How wonderful. You're willing to mentor a young man, a young woman? What about your home? Is your home open to invite an international into your home? The vast majority of international students who come to the U.S. are never in an American's home. Could you open your home to a widow, to a single mother? Provide a meal? Show them hospitality, the love of Christ? See, this total commitment to God is not something in the abstract. It leads to serving others. It transforms our relationships. Is this hard for us? Yes, it's hard. I confess it's hard. That's why we daily come to the Lord and say, I need your help. I need your blessing. Forgive me for my pride. Forgive me for my arrogance. Help me to understand who I am, to think with sober judgment, to think in a biblical way. Dorothy Sayre writes, the devilish strategy of pride is that it attacks us not on our weak spots, but on our strong. It is preeminently the sin of the noble mind. God has given you incredible gifts. Brother, sister, you're incredibly talented. God has blessed you phenomenally. But with that strength, with that gift, there is a temptation that you get puffed up with pride and you look down on others. So Paul is saying, no, think with sober judgment. Be humble. And this humility is maintained and deepen the more I understand the body is one, the more I understand the diversity. One day, a group of men came to interview a man in the Bible. His name was John the Baptist. And they said to him, what do you say about yourself? Are you the Christ? He says, no. Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. And in frustration, they say to him, what do you say about yourself? What kind of answer do you give when people say, who are you? Tell me about yourself. A lesser man than John would have whipped out his resume, tucked into his camel hair suit, and said, who do you think I am? You should know who I am. Haven't you read your Bibles? Because in Malachi chapter 3, I think it's the first verse. If you look there, Mr. Pharisee, you will see that there is prophesied a messenger of God who's going to prepare the way of the Messiah. That's who I am. Who are you? John doesn't respond like that. In fact, the more they ask of John, the less he says about himself. He says, no, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And Jesus says, of those born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. What does he do? Exalt himself? No, he must increase, I must decrease. Don't look at me, look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. C.S. Lewis says that pride is ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling, concentration on the self. You're thinking too much of the self, says Lewis. It's constant. Think of Christ. Look to Jesus, he saved you. And if you've never come to him, look to him today. He's the Lamb of God. He'll take away your sin. He'll give you eternal life. He'll transform your soul. And when Jesus said, now, if you want to follow me, you know the first thing he said, deny self. Take up your cross and follow me. The Bible says that God is opposed to the proud. I was thinking that during the week. And that means when I'm proud, as sometimes I am, God is opposed to me. Isn't that right? God, do you want God opposed to you? God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want God's grace and to receive the grace of God, that we understand the magnificence of who God is. And we understand his amazing grace. If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. If you humble yourself, God at the right time will exalt you. Be humble. Be like Christ, learn of him, and receive the grace of God. Will you bow? Father, help us. This is a battle for all of us. Our egos can be very strong. They can take control of us. Not one of us here can say we're exempt. In our own minds, we're apt to think of others. Help us not to do that, but to think with sober judgment. There are some here, Father, who have never come to the Savior. They may think they can save themselves. They may think it's unnecessary. Humble them, that they will come with repentant, humble hearts to the Savior and say, what must I do to be saved? And help us, Father, those of us who follow Christ, to live humble lives, which will edify and help our brothers and sisters and those who don't know Christ, and bring glory to your great name. We ask it. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, amen.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today, we're finishing a message called Humility, Unity, and Diversity. John has more to share when he returns in just a moment, so stay with us. And remember, if you'd ever like to access these messages at another time, you can do that by simply downloading our podcast. Just open your podcast app, search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe, and click subscribe to have these daily messages delivered automatically. Now, as we progress in this last section of our study on the book of Romans, we don't want you to miss out on our special resource. It's the fourth volume of John's study series on the book of Romans, called The Transformation of the Gospel, focusing on chapters 12 through 16. This guidebook will help you get the most out of our study through additional commentary from John, daily devotionals, study questions, and more. Receive your free copy by mail or download when you visit calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And if you miss getting a copy of John's guidebooks for chapters 1 through 11, we do still have a few copies. So don't hesitate to get caught up by requesting yours today. Again, that's calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And today, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join our efforts to share the good news of Jesus Christ when you send a financial gift of any amount. Make your donation today when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with his closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? Those who are saved by the grace of God not only have their sins forgiven, but are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Our Savior was the humblest of men, but also the most powerful and the most loving. Learn to appreciate those who are different from you. We need one another. In this way, the Church of Jesus Christ grows up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ.
And don't miss next time as Paul encourages us to use our God-given gifts.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.